CBS Live Show on UK Health Radio. My name's Robin Daly, and as with every episode, I'm the host for the show, as well as being the founder of the UK's integrative cancer care charity, Yes to Life, after which the show is named. When I say integrative cancer care, I'm referring to a very broad-based approach that adds to the conventional treatments that are on offer by our health service a whole raft of lifestyle and complementary therapies to provide additional support to improve quality of life and treatment outcomes. My guest this week is a Turkish oncologist, Dr. Abdul Slocum, who works at the Chemothermia Clinic in Istanbul, providing a treatment service that definitely fits the description of integrative. I'm speaking to Dr. Slocum over the internet in Istanbul. Hi, Abdul, and welcome back to the Yes to Life show.
Hi, Robin. Very nice to be back. It's been a long time since we spoke the last time. Very nice to be here.
It has. Yeah. I mean, you've actually been quite a frequent guest on the show, but not for an age. I checked, and it's actually 4 years, almost the day, since you were last my guest. I imagine there's quite a lot of water under the bridge since then, not least some tough times, I expect, during the pandemic, as a significant proportion of your clients, they travelled to Istanbul for your services. I was wondering, what is that proportion? What percentage of your clients come from abroad? And how did you manage through that difficult time?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Just as you said, time flies. I was just thinking now also how long it has been since we last spoke. It's been 4 years, hard to believe. And roughly two and a half years of that was the with the COVID pandemic. Roughly 50, sometimes 60% of our patients are international patients. And
right.
These patients frequently fly back and forth between their treatment cycle. So the COVID pandemic and travel restrictions affected many of our patients coming by. Unfortunately, some weren't able to come and continue their therapy on our behalf. But more unfortunately, at many of our patients' countries, unfortunately, because of high case numbers, many patients weren't able to receive treatment back in their home country also.
And
one of these main places were also, unfortunately, the UK. Many of our UK patients,
right,
when the travel restrictions were in place, because they couldn't fly or come in any way to Turkey, we had said, I had referred them back to consultants in the UK to the NHS, but unfortunately, because of high COVID case numbers, they weren't able to get very much needed medical care at that time. Of course, luckily, thankfully, our government here was more flexible, let's say, with accepting flights and stuff. So once flights opened with some countries, our patients managed to come through permitted, let's say, countries with flights.
Mm-hmm.
And some also, I just recall a patient now, a UK patient actually, he wasn't able to fly here, so then he flew to Greece, and then our driver went to the Greek-Turkish border and picked him up on the border there and drive to Istanbul.
Excellent.
It was exciting times.
Yeah.
Now when I think about it also, I also recall now another UK patient. Just at the beginning of the pandemic, she was our first patient, our first COVID patient. Our first patient that got COVID was from the UK. We treated her effectively. She got better, recovered, and now she's remission. In remission, she was an end-stage breast cancer patient.
Great.
From the UK. She's in remission back at home in the UK. So
brilliant.
These are some things that you call when we say the pandemic.
Yeah. Very good. So there you are, located in Istanbul, but you managed to present an attractive offering to people in countries all around Europe and even in the US. So what is it about chemotherapy that makes people prepared to travel so far for its services?
What makes us different is, like, firstly, we're a conventional medical oncology group and clinic. So we come from a conventional background. But we were a group of physicians which think out of the box, and we're open to any treatment that has scientific evidence. So may it be conventional, may it be non-conventional. If a therapy has scientific evidence regarding its efficacy, we are open to using it and applying it to our patients. We're practicing as a clinic since 2010. And what makes us attractive actually is us bringing together many different therapies that work effectively together, and our publications in peer-reviewed journals that clearly show that this kind of a combinatorial therapy increases survival times to much higher levels than ever expected. The therapy that we apply mainly consists of metabolically supported chemotherapy together with a ketogenic diet, hyperthermia, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, supportive infusional therapies, and oral medications of repurposed drugs and supplements. So it's a treatment protocol that has many different aspects to it.
It does.
It's a multi-modality therapy where both conventional therapies are applied, but also together with conventional therapies, we also apply metabolic and complementary therapies that have scientific evidence backing their usages. These therapies, non-conventional therapies, let's say, as a group, are therapies that both have their own therapeutic effect, but besides this also are therapies that increase the efficacy of our conventional treatments and work synergistically with conventional therapies. And besides working synergistically with conventional therapies, they also work synergistically with each other also.
Right.
So, and what we see when we turn back and look at our 12 years of practice where we're applying this kind of a combinatorial therapy, we see clearly that this kind of combinatorial therapy is much, much more effective than standard of care, with much better survival times and much better quality of life. And this makes our clinic a main center of patients traveling abroad from important distances. Yeah, we have many patients from United States, Canada, all around Europe, Australia, New Zealand. Unfortunately, I wish these patients didn't need to come such a distance. I wish this kind of innovative and effective therapy was available in their home countries. Mm. And this is the reason actually we're publishing. Like, we've made several publications, 8 different publications until now in peer-reviewed journals, where we clearly explain the treatment protocol that we apply and the outcomes that we have achieved with this kind of protocol. The reason that we publish is both to show that this therapy is effective, but besides this, mostly for other practitioners to read our publications and adopt this kind of therapy in
right.
their own practices.
Right.
So it will be available worldwide to people in their own home countries. For now, we're the main center that applies it, but hopefully in the near future, there will be many other clinics and practitioners that adopt our kind of approach and treatment.
Yeah, hopefully. A few in the UK wouldn't go amiss. So look, I want to sort of cover some basics today. I want to look at the thinking behind your work. So as you mentioned, you're like a properly integrated clinic. You've got a regular trained oncologist in your team using standard treatments. Maybe not exactly the way that they're being used in Britain, but You're using the same treatments nonetheless, but you also use this whole range of other treatments that are definitely not in use in the NHS at the same time. So the thing I'd like to explore first is the why. So how does your view of cancer itself and cancer treatment differ from the mainstream? Could you start out by telling us the dominant narrative behind the mainstream medicine and then how yours differs?
There are a couple points here. Firstly, the standard conventional approach to cancer treatment approaches cancer as a disease of a genetic origin. Meanwhile, our approach to this disease is that this disease has a metabolic basis to it. Yes, there are some genetic aspects of this disease also, but our main basis of approaching this disease is that this disease has a is a metabolic disease, and metabolic vulnerabilities are of cancer are targetable and are important in cancer treatment.
Would you just explain for the layperson, okay, what do these two things mean? What is genetic-based view of cancer and what is a metabolic-based view of cancer?
Like in a very layman's approach, yeah, let's say, we can say cancer has cells have specific genetic mutations, and targeting these is the main approach to treatment. This is one approach. The other is cancer has specific cancer cells express specific metabolic dysfunctions, and one of the main mainly what we can say in a layman's term is glucose is the main energy source of cancer cells. We see there is very much evidence that glutamine also is an important energy source, and this should be targeted also. But in a layman's terms, let's focus on the glucose affinity of cancer cells. And this metabolic dysfunction is actually expressed in over 95% of cancers. And we say that this should be targeted as a therapeutic approach. While saying this, we aren't saying that the genetic approach shouldn't be used and utilized in therapy. We say, yes, it should definitely be utilized and used. But why shouldn't a metabolic approach also be utilized as a therapeutic approach? We bring together these two approaches. So we aren't saying, we aren't rejecting any of these conventional approaches, but we're saying that we can have a larger perspective of approaching cancer as a disease, and why not target both of, use both of these aspects and utilize all therapies possible, which will maximize the chances of our patients. This was actually our starting point of our clinic. The question, asking the question, can't our outcomes be better? What can we use to improve our treatment outcomes? And after asking these questions, we started to read and research other things out of the box, because generally what we always think as conventional physicians is there isn't any evidence to any of the unconventional therapies. Mm-hmm. There's no scientific publications about them. And that's because of this, there's no reason of them being used in treatments. Meanwhile, as we read, we actually saw that we know so little about cancer and treating cancer.
Right.
So slowly, we try to learn and improve our knowledge in this regard. And as we read, we saw there's so much more to read. And during this process, we started to add on therapies to our standard conventional practice. And our current protocol is that has been developed following long times of research and reading evidence regarding unconventional therapies. And following this research and reading, we brought together these treatments that both increase the efficacy of conventional therapies and also work synergistically with each other also. And following these long-lasting years of practicing this combinatorial therapy, we see how effective it is and how important it was to bring together these treatments.
Absolutely. Well, it's very interesting, as you say. You sort of seems like you started with a baseline of okay, this is what cancer treatment looks like in conventional terms now. What can we add to this? You've taken that as a
Exactly.
baseline and added to it. Yeah.
Exactly. Like we didn't reject any of the our conventional background. We actually embraced new things. Like it's not some unfortunately like it's like many practitioners, they say they're only conventional or they're only alternative medical practitioners. Meanwhile, our approach is a total integrative approach. And it brings together both of these worlds at the scientific basis. And we say that whatever science recommends, that's what should be done. That's why, we didn't reject anything that we were educated about, but we embraced new practices, let's say.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, I mean, it's notable with cancer that nobody claims to have a complete understanding of cancer, and nobody claims to be able to treat cancer in any way which is, you can say we can give you a cure with any certainty. So, given that, your approach makes complete sense, where you just find the best of the best wherever you can, and you put them all together in the hopes that the additional effect of all of them is going to be the best you can manage. And from what you're saying about your trials and things, it sounds like that is proving to be the case. So I certainly want to hear a bit more about that. But first, can we just go through let's say the non-standard therapies you offer and how they fit into the picture of cancer and cancer treatment that you've just painted. Let's start with the diet.
In very basic terms, the reason we focused on diet was, as all of us know, and in conventional practice also, it's said that diet can be an important cause of diseases.
Right.
And so unhealthy diets, high carbohydrate consumptions can lead to many chronic diseases, and this one of them is cancer also. Meanwhile, remarkably actually, in almost none of these therapies, diet is seen to be important. So diet is said to be an important cause of cancer, but when we say why not use diet in treatment? It's never said to be important in a standard conventional approach. And we questioned this actually. We said if diet is an important cause of the disease, why shouldn't it be important in his treatment. So, we started researching and reading about different dietary approaches, and we went through many different dietary approaches, and we at our clinic we practice a carbohydrate restricted diet, and in some of our patients we also do like mainly carbohydrate restriction is the main thing that we do, but besides this, in patients who are eligible, we also aim ketosis. So a carbohydrate restricted ketogenic diet is our main practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the underlying mechanism of the reason of this kind of diet is that the glucose dependency of cancer cells is very well known. And because of the glucose dependency of cancer cells, the main imaging that we use in imaging tumors is fluorodeoxyglucose PET CT scans. So we're using a radioactive glucose molecule to image the cancer, and this imaging is used in more than 95% of cancers because glucose is the main source of energy for cancer. And because of this, there is an important rationale for adopting a diet that decreases circulating glucose levels. So any diet that will decrease circulating glucose levels, we can be beneficial in treating cancer. And a high-fat carbohydrate-restricted ketogenic diet, in many publications, it's shown to reduce blood glucose levels while also simultaneously increasing blood ketone levels. And this increase in ketone bodies both serve as an alternative energy source to normal cells, but it's not an energy source for cancer cells due to its abnormalities in the mitochondrial structure. So in a layman's term, a ketogenic diet reduces the energy source for cancer cells and increases ketone levels, which is an energy source for normal cells, but not for cancer cells. Mm,
very important. So this is what you were describing earlier as being a treatment to target the metabolism of cancer cells and to actually
exactly.
cripple them by starving them, basically, but at the same time
exactly.
feeding up the good cells and building them up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And besides a ketogenic diet, like... in our research, what we saw is that other metabolic treatment modalities, such as hyperthermia, hyperbaric oxygen, also show a great potential in treating cancer. Very basically, hyperthermia is a treatment that has a direct cytotoxic effect. It's a treatment that exploits the heat sensitivity of cancer cells. And this kind of treatment, there are different forms of hyperthermia. We use both local hyperthermia treatment, also full body hyperthermia treatment. And in several publications, it's reported that hyperthermia increases the efficacy of chemotherapy and radiotherapy by sensitizing cancer cells to these therapies. Hyperthermia both has a direct cytotoxic effect. And besides this, it also increases the efficacy of our standard conventional therapies.
Mm. That's great. No, it's a double whammy, basically, because it's a standalone treatment, but it actually is great in combination with the standard of care.
Exactly. And besides hyperthermia treatment, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, mm-hmm. also is a therapy that targets cancer cells by increasing oxidative stress. As many of us will know, tumors grow in hypoxic, low oxygen level environments. And the tumor hypoxia increases the glycolytic dependence of cancer cells, and it also promotes resistance to chemotherapy and radiotherapy treatment. And hyperbaric oxygen therapy actually is increases tissue oxygen levels, so it targets tumor hypoxia directly, and by doing this, it treats the unfavorable consequences of hypoxia. And in several publications, it is shown to increase the efficacy of both chemotherapy and radiotherapy treatments. Besides this, another important aspect of hyperbaric oxygen therapy is that it reduces side effects of conventional therapies and supports the general well-being and increases the quality of life of our patients. After adding hyperbaric oxygen to our treatment protocol, we clearly saw that besides treatment outcomes being better, our patients' general well-being also improved clearly. Besides having its own therapeutic effect and increasing the therapeutic efficacy of our conventional therapies, it also supports the general well-being and increases the quality of life of our patients.
Really important, because that's, of course, the ma one of the massive downsides of conventional treatments is it destroys quality of life.
Exactly.
But you know, those are both very good. They're a very good fit for your model of starting with conventional care and making it better. They quite clearly add to the potential and take away some of the negatives of conventional care, which is amazing. Okay, and anything else that you would add into your protocols?
So besides the ketogenic diet, hyperthermia, and hyperbaric oxygen therapy, we also use some oral medications, repurposed drugs, and also supplements. Also are used based upon the patient's personal condition, and we also find the usage of such medications and supplements to also be important in treating cancer, and besides treating cancer, also supporting the patient's general well-being, improving immune function. Those are also oral medications, and supplements are also an important part of our treatment protocols.
Well, I must say, in terms of what I was saying about making an appealing offer to patients around the world, what you're saying is kind of common sense, really, isn't it? It's like, well, you're going to take, say, these are the standard of care, these are what are being worked with everywhere. We're not going to just ditch that lot and go looking elsewhere. We're going to say, okay, those have their effect, but we're going to go out looking for things to improve it because we're not satisfied with the results we're getting there. And if something will do that, will actually improve it safely, then you'll adopt it. And it's kind of a totally logical approach to getting a better result. And anyone in the street would say, well, that makes sense. So it's a shame, as you say, that a similar kind of approach isn't being adopted more widely.
Exactly. I give an example to our patients. What I say is it's just like driving a car. Let's say when you go to any kind of car company, there are several different options of a car. But of the same car, there is a base version of the car, and also there's a fuller package of the same car. The fuller package will have better security options, more airbags, better steel possibly. If you're driving a better car, like the better packaged car, you definitely have a better chance of getting by from a car accident. Like when you have a cancer, specifically if it's an aggressive advanced stage of cancer, it is just like you're going to travel by car and you have a very high probability of having an accident. Well, what we're saying is, okay, we aren't going to say that that car is a bad car, the standard conventional approach. We aren't going to say it's bad. We're saying, okay, we're going to drive that car, but our car is actually based upon scientific evidence, and it's going to be a much better version of that car. It's not rejecting it. Okay, we're saying, yes, let's drive the car, but let's drive a much better package, which has much more airbags, better steel, more security options. So probability-wise, we'll have a better probability of getting by.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, one thing, in order to develop the protocols you have, your view of what constitutes scientific evidence must be different to the kind of mainstream, which, as you say, tends to just look for one type of evidence. If it's not there, well, it doesn't exist. And exactly. you're maybe balancing up safety and efficacy and things like that, and looking at different kinds of trials simply because there aren't randomized controlled trials for that particular thing, and maybe they're not even the appropriate kind of trial for that kind of intervention. So do you want to just say something about the way you look at treatments that you consider?
As an example, the way we apply chemotherapy, we have named it metabolically supported chemotherapy treatment, mm-hmm. which is applying chemotherapy in a fasting state with forming mild hypoglycemia by low doses of insulin application. In a standard practice, generally what's said to patients, come in however you want. You can have breakfast and come in, or you can, as you want, and when you're getting chemotherapy, they'll feed you a lot of garbage, let's say. Mm. If the patient can come in as they want for chemotherapy, why is fasting such a big concern? Like, some of us already in our lifestyle are doing intermittent fasting, mm-hmm. just out of choice.
Right.
Like, what we say to our patients is, fast for 14 hours and come in a 14-hour fast. Like, it's a very basic intervention.
Free.
But what we see is it has a logic behind it. We want to lower blood glucose levels, which sensitize cancer cells. It causes a metabolic stress on them. And what we say is, it translates into what we see. We're seeing it clearly in our outcomes, that it translates into an increased efficacy of chemotherapy. When we talk about evidence not being there, it's actually, are you looking for it or not?
Right.
Like, if you don't look, if you close your eyes, if you say no, there isn't anything there, or if you don't look towards it, you won't see it.
Right.
So the therapies that we utilize, may it be fasting, may it be a ketogenic diet or a carbohydrate restricted diet, or hyperthermia, hyperbaric oxygen, other kind of specific oral medications and supplements, none of these are toxic approaches. Like, these are therapies that are non-toxic, there aren't randomized clinical trials, unfortunately, but there are more small group clinical trials, also many case studies that report many, many positive effects of all of these therapies. And our question is, while there is so much evidence, why not use it?
Right.
That's what we said.
Right.
Because there is no additional risk that is reported about these therapies. And what we see in a retrospective manner, when we started doing this, we weren't sure that it will translate into clinical efficacy. Mm. We said but let's try. Let's do it. They're non-toxic approaches. Mm-hmm. And we started doing such therapies in 2010. Our initial publication, we made it in 2015, 2016. So we waited for 5 years or so to make our publications even, because we had to clearly see if these therapies were working or not.
Right.
And when we make retrospective analysis of our patients, what we see is clearly patients are living much, much longer and in a much more quality way. And this clearly shows that this kind of approach is much more effective and a much better approach to treat cancer.
Mm. Well, that's great. Yeah, so you've gone in there saying, okay, there's some evidence, it's dead safe, so there's nothing to lose here.
Yes.
And then after that, you have your own clinical experience to go on. In fact, you've got some clinical trials
exactly.
of your own to go on. So that's excellent. I mean, that's progress as far as I'm concerned, and quite different to just saying, well, there isn't a randomized controlled trial, so we're not going to do it. And so you never find out anything from that at all.
Exactly.
Mm. So you've mentioned these trials. Can we just talk about them a bit? Because you actually got quite a few papers now you've published. Do you want to just tell us about those and what they tell us?
Yes, like until now, we have made 8 different publications in peer-reviewed journals. And since we spoke the last, like when we had spoken in 2018, we had made 3 publications at mm-hmm. that time. And since then, we've made 5 new publications. And in these publications, in the last 5 publications, what we reported is our retrospective analysis of our treatment outcomes in gastric cancer patients, rectal cancer patients, pancreatic cancer patients, lung cancer patients, and we also published our treatment outcome in breast cancer. And in all of these publications, what we see is when we make retrospective analysis of our patients, we see that the overall survival time of our patients are much longer compared to standard of care. To give an example, I will give an example of our lung cancer from our lung cancer publication.
Mm-hmm.
In our publications, there's a very important table where we are comparing our treatment outcomes with standard of care outcomes. And there are 5 actually 6 publications that are referred to in our guidelines. And the overall survival time of those 6 publications and clinical trials that are were conducted by the pharmaceutical industry and that are referred to in our guidelines, the overall survival time in stage 4 non-small cell lung cancer patients is 6 months to 11 months.
Right.
In our patient group of 44 patients, the overall survival time of our patients are 42.9 months.
Wow.
So there is a drastic difference.
That certainly is.
The trials that we're comparing our outcomes with is the chemotherapy regimen being applied is the same regimen. But what's being done differently is, firstly, these drugs are being applied in a different application fashion,
mm-hmm.
which we have named metabolically supported chemotherapy, where we're applying chemotherapy while the tumors are under metabolic stress.
Mm.
And besides this, we're applying, our patients are adopting a ketogenic diet, and concomitantly, we're also applying hyperthermia and hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And this is forming actually a drastic difference, both in overall survival and also in the quality of life of our patients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look, it's very impressive. The fact that you've managed to gather this data, I mean, it's in stark contrast to most clinics which are working anything like a similar way to you. They would have a collection of isolated case studies, which, I mean, they're really useful to people who've got few options, but they don't even make the needle flicker in terms of being accepted evidence. So it's fantastic you've actually managed to publish so much material, because You're clearly demonstrating that you can make a huge difference.
Exactly. These publications were very important for us for a couple of reasons. We made this statistical analysis firstly to see if we're actually benefiting our patients, to see if our research has translated into a real success. Secondly, so other practitioners can also adopt this kind of a therapeutic approach. That's why publishing is very, very important. And we always are working on trying to share the evidence behind this kind of therapeutic approach. So many, many other patients will also be able to benefit from these therapies. Unfortunately, currently, frequency-wise, one out of every two males and one out of every three females are getting cancer in their lifetime. So it's an amazingly frequent disease, and no person will ever be enough to treat so many patients. So there shall be normally hundreds, thousands of centers that are practicing our kind of approach, and we're hoping that it will come to that in the near future. Hopefully, many, many other places will start adopting such therapies and being of help to thousands, millions of other patients out there.
Well, I think an appreciation of the need to target cancer metabolically has grown immensely in the last 10 years, thanks to Professor Seyfried sort of kicking the ball out there with his book. You know, that was a really a turning point. Not that he didn't have predecessors who are obviously working hard on it, but that book seemed to be a turning point from which it's actually awareness has gone up substantially. And so at some point, there has to be a kind of tipping point where actually it's adopted as a completely scientific basis for treating cancer that needs to be encompassed properly. But anyway, your work, meanwhile, it's great for patients that they have somewhere they can go that appreciates that side of things. But B, you're also actually building the case for that change. So both things very important.
Definitely, definitely.
Okay, so, you know, lastly, I mean, I assume from what you've been saying about the way you work, you have a kind of program of continuous development in a way, where you're reading what's happening, what the latest thinking is and all the rest of it all the time and tweaking what you do. How much does your protocol change within a year? Is it something that is continually in flux?
It's definitely continuing. We're open to many more developments, and currently we're also working closely with Professor Seyfried and trying to develop and refine further metabolic therapies to our patients. And we're also working together on applying specific glutamine inhibitors also in treatments. So hopefully in the near future there will be further breakthrough. Also that we will be reporting.
Excellent. Really good. Okay. Well, really been great to catch up with you, Abdul. Thanks so much for coming back on the show. We mustn't leave it quite so long next time.
Yeah, exactly. It was a pleasure talking to you, Robin. Yeah. Hopefully, we'll talk again in the near future.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I'll be very happy to attend the Yes to Life event. Conference
that would be great.
Very nice talking to you.
Love to see you over here. Thank you.
Okay, you have a nice rest of the day. We'll be in touch.
Bye bye. Stunning testimony to the power of integration there from Dr. Slocum, with the results that he quoted from that small cell lung cancer trial. Utterly compelling. Christmas is not so far off, and so I want to finish with a shameless plug for a present idea that will not only make a delightful gift for any young family, but will also raise money for Yes to Life to help people with cancer to learn about and access integrative medicine. It's an album called Songs Our Parents Sang, and it's sung by Mirren and sold in aid of the charity. The selection of songs includes children's songs, as well as songs that will appeal to children, some well known and some less so, but all calculated to go down well with parents as well, unlike most kids' albums, let's face it. To sample all the tracks and to get a copy, go to mirren.com, that's M for mother, Y-R-R-E-N.com, mirren.com. And to get you in the mood, here's a sample track. I look forward to bringing you another Yes to Life show, diving into the world of integrative medicine for cancer next week here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.